going through a heartbreak or you're going through a tough time at school when you're younger, or finances or health or whatnot. It's never as bad as you think it's going to be. Another door will always open. Do what you love. The money comes. Don't go after the money. First do what you love and then watch the money come, because then it doesn't feel like a job.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
It is my distinct pleasure to welcome Ali Afshar. Did I say your name correct?
You said it absolutely correct.
So Ali is sitting in front of chandeliers, what looks like huge airplane hangar with incredible bright race cars behind him. We're going to give a little tour here for those people who cannot see, because it is an audio podcast. Tell us about your incredible location.
You know what? We're up here at my childhood ranch up in Northern California, and we're in one of our sound stages that I built. It's like a big barn that we used for the first movie we shot at the ranch. We built this for California Christmas, the big Netflix hit in 2020, the Christmas movie that, like, it was the first movie, I think, in California done during the pandemic. It was June of 2020. And I said, you know what, guys, we're going to build our own sound stage. We're going to control our own environment. So we built this big barn. And we shot the movie in it. We had the real life married couple, Josh and Lauren Swickard, that actually met on our other movie, Roped. That's a whole nother story. They met on our movie. They fell in love. Their first kiss was on camera. They got married. Now they have a family. And I said, you know what? They're not going to be concerned about being too close together during COVID. We're going to shoot this on the ranch. So we've kind of made our own little facility up here where we've shot about seven movies since then, and a TV series called Casa Grande that we've shot up here. So it's usually just the big soundstage empty. I use it to keep a lot of my cars. Maybe some of your viewers or listeners know, but I race cars professionally too. So I'm a big car guy. So when we're not using it for a movie or a TV show, I stuff all my classic and hot rods and muscle cars and stuff in here. And occasionally we let our friends use it for a wedding here and there because of the cool chandeliers and all the decorations I did for California Christmas.
Wow. So this goes from a race car launch pad to a sound stage, chandeliers for Christmas and hot rods. And okay, so technically, what is a muscle car?
I guess a car that has muscle. Like, I would say anything from like 50 through the 80s, that's a hot rod V8. It's pretty much always American muscle. It's just like a classic, you know, an old Mustang or an old Camaro, a Chevelle, an Oldsmobile 442, Buick, Pontiac, you know, those kind of hot rods that kids might have in the 60s, 70s, and 80s raced, you know, on the streets and drag raced and all that fun stuff. So that's what we consider a hot rod or a muscle car. Yeah.
We were a musty family. My mother had a convertible 68 cherry red. Mm-hmm. And some collector came all the way from Australia to Los Angeles to get that car from her.
Have been a nice one.
Oh, it's in great condition, all original. Yeah, awesome, awesome. So it's a magical thing how the algorithm of LinkedIn works, because I did do another podcast with a woman who started a collective for female race car drivers to recognize, and I will give you more information offline about that, because you should actually know each other if you don't already. But it led me to you at perfect timing, because to give you a little background, I am also a literary and talent manager. I say that I produce people and projects. And besides this podcast, which has been incredible during the years of quarantines in and out of COVID, as being a catalyst to creative conversation, we have writers with holiday movies. We have created all kinds of content. And I was representing a director who was in the space. And I thought, this is like perfect to land on your bio. And the more I dug in, the more excited I got. So I know you have a really incredible story, and I would love for you to share with our listeners. And let me just explain, first of all, who the listeners are for you. We have two main listening pods, an 18 to 26 aspiring creative on their yellow brick road to success. And then the pivoters in my age group, probably in your age group, 42 to 59 is the analytic. Those people that could be making eruptive shifts during these last few years as the whole world sort of shifted. And people want to hear advice, kernels of gold, your story. And I've had such incredible legacy guests, and everybody's been sharing their gifts and their stories. So if you would you just kind of download where you came from and how you got to where you are? Because it's kind of a unique package.
Wow. Yeah, I don't want to bore anybody. So I'll try to give you the 60 seconds. But born in Iran, left Iran in a very tough time when the Iranian revolution happened and the Iranians took the American hostages. It was a really bad time to come to America because it was tough being an Iranian in the early 80s, late 70s, because of the whole hostage situation and the whole country going through a not so great country. But we fled Iran. My mom also had terminal cancer, so we had to come to the West to treat that. But it was really mainly also we couldn't go back because of what happened. The Shah of Iran was overthrown, and we just couldn't go back there with the new kind of religious fanatic environment. Actually, we did a movie about it, and I played my own uncle. We had John Voight, Oscar winner, Academy winner John Voight play in it. We had William Fichtner. We had an amazing kid named George Costuros play me as a kid. So we did a movie, American Wrestler, The Wizard. And it was the first movie that Warner Brothers distributed for us and actually got us to be part of the, you know, greater Warner family. We've been on the Warner Brothers lot since 2015 because of that movie. So long story short, came to America, struggled through. Mother had cancer. Mother fought it for 12 years rather than the 6 months she was given. She was a very prominent Iranian Persian poet and lyricist. So she wrote the lyrics for like the stars of Iran, the Michael Jacksons and the Madonnas of Iran. My mom wrote their song. So we came up in this artistic musical lifestyle. And then, but she passed away in 89. My dad went back to Iran. And then we just kind of the three brothers, I'm the youngest of three brothers. We kind of struggled in LA and kind of, I used to street race a lot and build hot rods and got the occasional acting gig and put myself through college, got my degree in biology because I was going to be a doctor. But in 2001, I finished college and I was acting and building hot rods and racing for fun. I became pro for Subaru of America. So since then, I've been racing on and off with them a lot in those earlier years. We've won 18 NHRA championships, 2 world championships. I still have the fastest Subaru in the world. So the street racing hot rod childhood I had growing up here in the town of Petaluma, which is in Sonoma County, just next to Napa Valley and beautiful wine country about 45 minutes north of San Francisco. This is where they shot American Graffiti. And this car has a huge car backbone. Everybody in this town has a hot rod or a muscle car, or some kind of cool antique car in their garage. And there's huge car shows in the 80s. They were cruises on the boulevard. It's kind of where, you know, American Graffiti was shot here. And I kind of, I don't know if it started that trend, but it definitely fed that whole car thing. So between cars and movies, got through it and raced professionally, but I missed acting. I wanted to come back in acting around 2010. I said, you know what, I'm going to take a break. I had a lot of success racing. And when I came back to acting, I got a small role in that movie, He's Just Not That Into You. The director, Ken Kloppis, inspired me to make and write American Wrestler, which was like our first big movie. And one of our friends that raced with us, he was a film financier, and his connections got me into making my first movie, which was called Born to Race. And so we did a couple little car racing movies. Alex Renaravello, that directed that, is a good friend of mine. He's directed a dozen of our movies now. And fast forward, 22 movies in about 6-7 years, 2 series. And, you know, been part of, happy to be on the lot at Warner Brothers in Burbank and happy to shoot up here. 17 of our movies have been shot up here in Northern California. We kind of, I like to say we have a little minuscule Tyler Perry thing going on in this little town of Petaluma. Where we have our little sound stages in our ranch, and everybody from, you know, the previous mayor and the councilmen are all our friends, and we've used this whole town as a back lot. So that's the story in a nutshell. And here we are, splitting my time between LA and Petaluma, obviously in Petaluma right now, but I'll be back in LA next week and making movies. And, you know, we have 5 movies releasing this year. On the 25th of this month, we have the first one for Netflix called That's Amore, awesome romantic comedy. And then the other 4 are all Christmas movies, 3 for HBO Max, 1 for Netflix. So 5 total. And in 2020, we kind of got excited and did this first movie, California Christmas, during the pandemic in June of 20. I believe we were the first movie in California to be shot during the pandemic. Very small shoot. A married couple that met on our previous movie, Roped, that's also on Netflix, and fell in love and got married. We also play matchmaker as the lead.
Is that on your resume under special skills, matchmaker?
Oh, we've had like, I think, 2 or 3 weddings now, 2 or 3 marriages, 2 or 3 engagements, and many long-term 4 or 5 year relationships have come from our crew and team, because we use kind of the same family and we do the same thing. So that brings us to, you know, we hit it out of the park with California Christmas. It was number 1 in the world on the platform for 2 weeks straight, really launched us into this 6 movies after that, all Christmas movies. So they ordered a handful, HBO Max ordered a handful. So all our movies, they're not holiday films. These last, you know, 6 or 7 are, but all our movies are like American dream movies. They're all underdog driven. And we were doing diversity when we started, well before it was fashionable. You know, our first 5 movies had female leads. The 2 after that had African-American leads. The 2 after that had an Iranian lead. We've had the only movie that's been released by a distributor with an Iranian as the lead role in a positive light by a major distributor like Warner Brothers. It was still an indie movie. But so, you know, our one of our old financiers used to coin the phrase, shed a tear, but leave with a smile. That's the best way to describe our movies. They're always feel good, do the right thing, you know, diversity, underdogs. So the Christmas theme of family and stuff works, you know, but we're not like Hallmark Lifetime-y. We're way more edgy, and we're, you know, we're usually PG-13 or higher because we're not quite Nicholas Sparksy, but we're more Nicholas Sparks than we are Hallmark, you know. So that's kind of our holiday films. But we're very big on action. We've done over a dozen race car, race motorcycles. We did 2 MMA movies, American Fighter, which was the sequel to American Wrestler. We did Born a Champion with Dennis Quaid. We did Bennett's War with Trace Adkins and Michael Rourke, Running Wild with Sharon Stone. You know, we've done a lot of like action movies, whether it's wrestling or fighting, or we did The Ride, True Story with Ludacris as the father, which was a black dad that adopts a racist white kid that has a swastika tattoo. Later in life, he was like 12, 13 years old or something, teaches him how to ride a bicycle, and the kid becomes a BMX world champion. Talk about diversity. And this was in 16. We shot this in 2016. It's called The Ride. It's out right now on Amazon. It's not on Netflix. It's on Amazon and some of the other platforms. So all our movies have, you know, recognizable talent. They're solid. We've only used basically 2 directors for all 22, with the exception of Brett Hedlund. He did The Stand at Paxton County, which was a great movie. He's our editor, but he directed that for us once. So out of 22 projects, we've literally had 2 directors for 21 of them and 1 for the other. We have a pool of writers that we use that are in-house. Our lead producers, I play a producer / EP role. I usually assign a producer, lead producer to each project as I play more of an EP type of role. So we have Ava Redke, Christina Moore, and recently we've added Lauren Swicker to produce. She just produced a movie called A Holiday Harmony that's going to come out on HBO this year, starring Brooke Shields. Christina Moore produced A Hollywood Christmas this year for HBO Max, starring Josh Swickard, which is the husband of Lauren. And then also Ava Redke is in post-production right now with the film called A Christmas Mystery, which is really a cute kind of Goonies, young kids trying to figure out who stole Santa's jingle bells. And it's got Oscar Nunez, Eddie Cibrian, Beau Bridges, Christoph Sanders. It's got a great adult cast. And then it's got 4 amazing kids, one of them being the lead. She's Violet McGraw, that has been in a couple of our other movies. She's in Black Widow. She plays the younger Florence Pugh at the beginning, like 10, 15 minutes of the big Disney show. She's in a bunch of, their family's super talented. They're in a lot of Blumhouse films and The House on Haunting Hill. She's one of those girls. And fortunately for me, I went to school here in Petaluma with her mother. So when she auditioned for us for the movie Bennett's War, she had a few lines in it and we hired her for it. Her mom reached out to me and I was like, oh my God, like you were, you know, Jackie McGraw. So it was really cool. So we've had the pleasure of working with Jackie and her daughter Violet for, I think, 3 movies now. And here we are, you know, finishing, getting ready for 5 releases this year. And our TV series, Casa Grande, will hopefully be released next year as well. We did 5 episodes of that. Consider that like Yellowstone, but with a Latin influencer.
You know, you made a very good comment about diversity. I actually wrote an article about how the pendulum always swings one way or the other to the extreme. Hollywood can never seem to get it just right in the middle. You know, it's either not enough or that's all there is. So it's interesting hearing it from an Iranian man. I want to know, because you kind of touched on, you were in a movie called She's Just Not Into You. Is that right?
He's just not that into you. The big Warner Brothers movie with, yeah. You know.
And how did that conversation come up to inspire you to become a filmmaker?
Well, we wanted to develop some race car movies, but when I was sitting with the awesome director, his name was Ken Kwapis, at lunch one day, and I was just telling him about the story and saying, I think I really want to do this, write this. And he just encouraged me to do it. And it was really cool when, you know, I didn't know anybody. So having a director of that status and that, and just a really kind man, encourage you to write it. I wrote it. I was hoping he could direct it, but he's so busy and he's out of my league. So that's kind of what encouraged me to do that one. But we've always wanted to do, because I acted a lot, you know, I've acted in probably over 40 TV shows and movies and stuff. So I did a lot of acting and I wanted to like always control my own destiny. So it was just another push in the right direction. And thank God that, you know, the former CEO of Warner Brothers, Kevin Sugihara, which is also from Petaluma, a lot of people from Petaluma.
Oh, you have a lot of really cool serendipity there, huh?
Ron Sanders, Carolyn Blackwood, she's still the CEO of Warner Brothers Pictures at this moment. I think she's leaving soon, but she was awesome. And the whole team over at Warner Brothers has really taken me under their wings and worked with us on the licensing side. Licensing, we have 11 movies on Netflix. We have a bunch now on HBO Max. We've gone theatrically to over 1,000 theaters on some of our movies, like Bennett's War went to a little over 1,000 theaters. So it's pretty much a small wide release. So, you know, all the David Decker, David Graeber, Jeff Brown, Ricky Titus, so many friends, Steven Spira, all our friends over at Warner Brothers have really helped us. It's like I'm winning an award. And I'd like to thank my agent.
I'd like to thank everybody on the lot from Penaluma, whoever raced a car. My very first movie I ever pitched was on the Warner Brother lot to a producer who's no longer with us. He had a company called Bel Air Entertainment, Steve Ruther, who created Face Off and the Jennifer Grey movie, Dirty Dancing, and Kenny Ortega, who's a colleague. And yeah, but I pitched over lunch to a friend of mine, Maureen Donnelly, and she walked it in and we pitched it and it was bought in the room. That was my first and only experience. The project was called Liberty Street.
Okay, cool.
And it was based on my own experience being the first white woman to go into the hood in Compton and teach ballet to young felons. All true.
Nice. That sounds like our kind of movie.
Yeah, I was a young dancer in New York. I moved to New York at 16, left family, loved New York, loved the beat of it. Danced with the Joffrey before it moved to Chicago. It was a New York company, one of the three major companies. And actually, there was a documentary made by a team that also won an Academy Award for Best Documentary called Colors Straight Up, about this incredible couple of guys, one Black and one Jewish Italian, great combination, who inspired these young kids to try literature. It was called Living Literature, Colors United, and try adopting Shakespeare and some of the classics, but into sort of street theater. And then I was recommended by my good friend, and I was her first client. Now she's a big agent named Julie McDonald, to go down and meet these guys. And I started the first dance program. So we optioned the story and I wrote the treatment with a Humanities Award-winning writer. And it was very exciting. And we also had some big people. And then it went into that magical tub called Turnaround. After $500,000 was spent on great writers. We had incredible Academy Award-winning screenwriters attached. It was really quite an experience. And by the time they were going to make the movie, I was out to here pregnant with my son. So I didn't feel like a ballerina at all. It was very humbling.
Yeah, well, it's weird. The studios, the way we work with the indie, I mean, your story is very understandable and relatable. Well, fortunately, we've been lucky because we had independent financing for like the first dozen of our movies. So we didn't have to do the studio route. We would just make them and the studio would either take them themselves or license them from us. So we were very fortunate that way, because I don't think I've been accused of being impatient, which is very true. I just don't think I would have had the stamina or the patience to stand this traditional studio route and take years to do stuff. I mean, we do 4-5 movies a year, normally, every year. So we just did 3 movies in 4 months this year. You know, we started in February and we just ended last month for the 3 HBO Max movies. So your story is definitely the tough one. And we've been very lucky and fortunate, I think, to be able to do it our way. And now we get, you know, we have deals in place prior to even going into production, which always feels good.
Fantastic. So you're like a raconteur. You sort of pull it all together. I mean, it's a business, artistic, and then you still get to play.
The artist is the actor. I definitely am in the room for the editing. I'm on set every day, you know, double check. I don't have to do anything. Our director, Sean Piccinino, Alex Ronvero, our producers, the ladies I mentioned, are all so good that I don't do much anymore. And I'm fully involved in casting, music, and our Jamie Christofferson, he scored basically all our movies. We have a really great team, and you know, the machine works to keep them all busy all the time. Daniel Aspromonte, I forgot to mention him. He's pretty much helped produce all our movies except like two or something. So yeah, so these guys, it's a family, you know, we're all friends. We're actually all friends first, you know, a lot of us are friends.
Well, I wanted to know about that because it just sounds too easy, to be perfectly honest.
it's not easy.
Okay. Tell me how you all met. Was it through Cars?
Yes and no. Alex Ronarvello, we met through Cars. Christina Moore, I met. We were both in the same acting class in the 90s when we moved here. We had the same manager for a minute. We came up. She worked at a restaurant, Jerry's Deli on Ventura Boulevard, that my brother managed. So everybody remember that one in Studio City? No, it's no longer there, I don't think. But Ava Redke came, started working with us back in 2016, right out of college. Lauren York, now Lauren Swickard, her married name. She auditioned for us and didn't book it, but then booked this one. Now she's part of the writing team. John Ducey, Christina Moore's husband. He's a very, very smart guy, Harvard grad, actor, been a series regular a few times, as Christine. Christine has been a series regular on tons of shows.
I know her face. I looked everybody up. Yeah, she's got those huge eyes too.
Big, pretty eyes. Yeah, Christine's awesome. So we have, the cool thing is like John writes a lot of the movies. Alex writes a lot of the movies. Brett writes a bunch of them. Lauren is starting to write them. So we have four or five good writers in-house, three or four good directors, or two or three directors. Brett is pretty much our full-time editor. We have this movie this year. I think we have one other editor, Betsy. She's awesome too. Our family's tight. And as long as we can keep the machine rolling, you know, we can do the number of quantity we do. We can do them at a good price point. And we're known to punch way above our weight class is what people say, because we'll do a movie that'll look like it's, you know, two to three times the budget. It's because we do it our own way. We use our own resources. We don't waste time. We don't have unnecessarily big crews, and we are union now, so which is good. You know, we're SAG and IATSE, which is a plus. We've been able to grow. The first few handful weren't union, so we're you know, we try to take care of our people.
Do you know who Mike Young is in the animation world?
Don't know.
Well, it's very funny because you just used an expression he used on our podcast, and I had never heard that expression, to punch way above your weight. And he's got thick Welsh accent. So when he says it, it's, you know, punch way above your weight.
Exactly. Punch above your weight. I didn't make it. It's just our company's kind of been coined with that phrase, because when people say it, they're like, you made this for how much? And we're like, yeah. They're like, wow.
So are you going to tell us, is it all under $1 million?
Oh, no. We're over $1 million. We're in the five world, but they look like they're in the, you know, we're a lot of them are under five, but we're like, they look like, you know, 15, 12. Watch Dirt with Kevin Dillon and Daron Horton, the movie Dirt, or watch Bennett's War. And when you got cop cars flipping through the air over Rolls Royces that are drifting down the streets, and you're like, what? It's just, you know, we come from a racing world. We know cars, we know motorcycles, we know bicycles, we know wrestling. I was a state champion qualifier wrestler. We know MMA. We know a lot of the, we tell stories about what we know, and that elevates it.
There's probably an intersection between wrestling, boxing, and ballet. I will tell you, there's a very famous dancer who used to be at the Joffrey, who is half French, and he's like 6'7". He's incredible, beautiful build. And he just opened a studio downtown, which is both boxing and wrestling and ballet bar.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Isn't that pretty cool? I mean, I've been doing the mixed martial arts with ballet for years. I used to choreograph for Mortal Kombat.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I love being around athletes and artists, and it just inspires me so much. In fact, this podcast started in front of a live studio audience, and then we pivoted. Literally, I was supposed to speak for the second time to 30,000 people in London at the biggest dance convention called Move It. And I got a text on my phone that, oh, we're not having the convention. It's been closed due to COVID. It was literally March 17th. The borders were closing.
Yeah. Can you believe it? 2.5 years now of this craziness.
craziness. So we all pivoted. So the idea that you've created a mini factory right from Petaluma and in your space is very not only innovative and smart, but fantastic and convenient. And so for our listeners who are all over the map in terms of being aspiring creatives, how does one break into a company like yours?
It really depends. Our company comes from friends and referrals a lot. But if you have a, you know, a great story, a good script, a book, a something, a short story, novel or comic book, any idea, or just something you have, your past experience, put it down on paper and send it. You know, you could always email it to us and we'll make you sign a bunch of stuff before we read it. But yeah, just get it to us and you can find us online. We're there. Everybody has social media now. We have our offices. You can just look up ESX Entertainment online and IMDb Pro and just send us something. Yeah. And on the acting audition, just make sure you're getting out there and audition.
Tell me the story about how you got involved with Lucas Oil as a sponsor. And is that current?
Okay. Tell you the story. It's not current anymore, but what happened when we made our first movie, Born to Race, I showed it to a bunch of people at the racetrack. One of them was Mr. Forrest Lucas of Lucas Oil, and he liked it and they got involved in the sequel. The ending of the sequel was the Lucas Oil Cup, and Forrest was a self-made high net worth individual. Awesome guy. I try to make sure we haven't worked together in a few years, but I make sure I call him every month and just check in. They're, you know, Indiana based, like Lucas Oil Stadium where the Super Bowl was played a couple of years back and where the Indianapolis Colts play. Forrest and I kind of had the same vision in terms of stories we wanted to tell. I had the machine, he had the resources. So we did about a dozen movies, American Wrestler, Pray for Rain about the farmer's plight, Running Wild with Sharon Stone. We did Bennett's War with Trace Adkins, and even the Dennis Quaid one and Ludacris one. There's a handful of those middle movies right before the Christmas wave, as I call it, the last 8 or 10 movies. We built a brand, Forrest Films. It's kind of been put on the shelf now. Forrest is an amazing guy, great heart, really believes in the American dream, as do I, which is really cool. Where we both are, like, you know, from totally different parts of the world, where we both believe, you know, put your head down, work hard. I mean, shed a tear and leave with a smile is his phrase, you know. So he's the one that, and he also had some other great, you know, it doesn't cost anything to be kind. He would say that it's crazy when a, you know, such a high net worth guy says these just, you know, morally correct things. But they also own the television network MAV TV that has a lot of racing motorsports stuff on it. We had one of our series Import Racers on there like 2-3 years ago, like 6 episodes of that. But yeah, we now are just doing the films directly for like Netflix and or HBO Max and or other outlets that we're connected with yet. But yeah, Forrest was a great part of the company and helped us. We had awesome collaborations with him.
And HBO Max is now part of the Warner Brothers family, right? Aren't they all integrated?
Yeah. HBO, HBO Max, Warner. Yeah, it was primarily AT&T. Now Discovery's stepped in. So there's a whole new changing of the guard. There's a bunch of new leaders here.
I was at one of these big conventions when AT&T was first connecting with Warner Brothers on the Warner Brother lot. And they had all these tech heads talking about the new technology and where it's going. And yeah, it just every day something changes and shifts. Viacom, CBS, it's just like moving around, right?
Yeah, AT&T merger, COVID, and then the Discovery merger, like the people that, because we're not Warner Brothers, we're a company at Warner Brothers and we're partners with them, but we're not directly employees. Like I don't have an at Warner Brothers email, you know, I'm at ESX Productions email, but the guys at Warner that are still standing have gone through hell and back with those three big, I mean, the big AT&T merger, COVID kicking your butt, and then the whole streaming stuff, and then also now Discovery, another new guard coming in. So we hope for the best. I haven't discussed this with the top brass, the new brass. I don't even know them yet. So once I meet them and find out if they find value in our movies, great. If not, you know, we'll pivot as well. We always follow what we want to do. We don't really do things we don't want to do.
That came across and was one of the reasons I was excited to speak with you. I can feel your passion and being an artist, a dancer myself, and talk about nose to the grindstone. You know, I had my first job to buy toe shoes and then started a company at 16 and then started my second at 23. And it's basically the same company. It's just morphed about 12 times, you know? So I really applaud you for that. And I love that as part of your story. It was one of the things that definitely appealed to meeting you, besides the fact that you're able to balance being a movie maker and a race car driver, which I think is super cool. So give me a day in the life of, as we wrap up, and then two things if you were talking to yourself at 18, you would say now.
Day in the life of, wake up in the morning, depends where I am. In Northern California, it's clean up the ranch, get the ranch ready. There's always ranch problems. If you have any property, if you own a house, you'll know what I'm talking about. Just multiply, because there's 20 acres here we have to deal with. So wake up in the morning, take care of the media business of the house, and or if I'm in LA, get to Warner Brothers, get to my office there. Traditional, not too exciting, you know, do all the boring emails, phone calls, return the 2,000 texts you haven't replied to, or the 30,000 emails you haven't gotten to yet. And then my job is really, I sit there, I'm kind of the EP of everything. So I have to spend a lot of time on the numbers and the scheduling and the finances, but then I get to switch gears. And usually by midday, by lunch, I can get a little more creative, which is, where are our current movies? We have 5 to promote this year. We're having a premiere on the 25th. Hopefully you can make it. I'll have the girl send you an invitation. It's at Warner Brothers for our movie, That's Amore, that's coming on Netflix on the 25th.
I watched the little trailer on it. Very cute.
Very cute, yeah. And then also I always spend time on the future. Like, what's the development, putting pitches together? What do we want to do? What are stories we want to tell? We never expect, I'm an Iranian born kid that didn't even celebrate Christmas. And now I'm the Christmas go-to guy. So eye on the future. We want to bring back a little bit more action, but we always want to lead with heart and soul and tell interesting character-driven stories. Like our producer Ava Redke and Christina Moore are developing stuff. And Ava's big thing is about just like strong characters. She's very much into the current, you know, world. I'm a little more like old school. She knows what's going on with the kids and all the different issues people are dealing with. Cause like you said, it's a lot of stuff has happened in the last like 3-4 years in terms of all the politically correctness, good or bad, the politics. I don't know if the country's ever been more divided than it is now.
We never had a word called cancel culture, you know?
Yeah, I mean, cancel.
It's all been erupting.
Yeah, exactly. And it's and there's some good in it because it is opening your eyes to things, but it's also a little too extreme for the masses to be able to swallow in one shot. It doesn't work that easy. But I think there's always good with growth, but it just hurts. It's growing pains. So some of our stories are going to start pivoting into that direction a little bit. Maybe I'm not saying we get into the whole, you know, woke culture or anything, but telling a little bit more character-driven stories. But I also personally love action and cars. And like, I love Top Gun Maverick. And, you know, it's like, it's cool to see that 80s throwback. I love 80s stuff. We're trying to do a put together a movie with the Scorpions, the rock band from the 80s, like our own Bohemian Rhapsody. So I love that kind of genre and world and stuff. So hopefully that'll happen. And then two things I tell myself. First thing I would say is, I've always said it, but I'd reiterate it. I'd say like, don't waste time. My mom passed away at a very young age. She was only given 6 months to live. She fought for 12 years. It was inbred in me to like, oh shit, life is quick. Take the chances, take the risk. Don't be foolish. Don't be reckless. Don't be reckless with other people or your health or your money, or don't be an asshole, but take advantage of it. Don't procrastinate. That's why I'll sometimes take big leaps and I've had tremendous failures, which leads me to the second one is, don't be so hard yourself on the failures. It's Michael Jordan or somebody said, everybody counts all the shots I made. They don't count the shots I missed. And I've missed 10x what I've made. So don't be so hard on yourself when you fail, when you're going through a heartbreak or you're going through a tough time at school when you're younger, or finances or health or whatnot. It's never as bad as you think it's going to be. Another door will always open. Do what you love. The money comes. Don't go after the money. First do what you love and then watch the money come, because then it doesn't feel like a job. So that was 3 things, Michelle, not 2. I gave you 3.
You basically wrote the preamble to Passion to Power.
Where's my royalties?
Right, I'll send them over. I wanted to add 2 things since you're an actor at heart. I was an actress as well, and I have some of the greatest actors, and it's such an excitement to watch each and every one sort of get their break. And I feel that you celebrate that with your crew, like your team is all like, you brought in actors, you brought in writers, you know. The way I create my vibe with my company, More Zap, as we call ourselves, the More Zapper family, we have Zooms all over the world, actors, authors, activists, artists, and we're very collaborative and we celebrate each other's wins. And I would think that that's so much a part of your culture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do. We give chances. Like the lead of That's Amore, I met as a waitress in a restaurant, and she auditioned for us a couple of times. She was great. And she got the job after 3 or 4, but she was really good. You know, it's that typical story. Like, yeah, fine. You're an actor. But when you shine, you shine. Christina Moore and myself, we've come up for 20 plus years being friends through the car business. We work together through the movie business now. And Ava Redke, straight out of college, comes in, you know, in the trenches, was my assistant for a minute and just kind of worked away up second AD, PA's AD, and then stepped up and now is a full producer. So I think it's, if you're good at what you do, it takes a little bit of 5, give yourself 5 to 7 years, but full time, not the bullshit of like, oh, I'm just waiting for my agent to call me to get an audition. Like, go after it, do your own stuff right now. The phone I'm talking to you on, you can shoot anything, put it on YouTube, get it out there. There's no reason you shouldn't write and create your own stuff. And then also just get really good at your craft just because you're hot. There's a billion guys and girls out there that are good looking. Like, you got to be good and good looking and a good person. Being a good person is just as good as being good, just as valuable as being good. So put all those things together and you don't drink the Hollywood Kool-Aid, do what's right. And that's kind of how our movies are made. We don't drink the Hollywood Kool-Aid. Like, I've seen budgets of certain movies and you're like, what a waste. Like, what, nothing, none of this is going on the screen. A lot of people don't like me because of that, but it is what it is.
Right. So you're going to be the harsh negotiator when it comes to your above the line contracts, huh?
Pretty simple. Actually, I'm not harsh. It's very straightforward. This is what you get. Yes or no. There's not too much negotiation. The attorneys and agents that have banged heads with me on negotiation know that I'm kind of last and final is my first offer. So, but they know that already. Like, why bullshit? Can afford. And they sometimes go, can you please get us this or that? Yeah, fine, we'll do that. You know, but we're not, we're a small company. We do it. Why bullshit you? We're not going to bog you down and, you know, tickets to the premiere. Of course you can have tickets to the premiere. You know what I mean? I have as many as you want, you know, but stupid nonsense that they, I don't know. I call it the Hollywood Kool-Aid. Now I just probably made more enemies because all the old school Hollywood people don't like it when I say that. Cause we're really not Hollywood. We're kind of our own thing in Hollywood.
Petaluma.
Yeah. Well, I've been in LA for 20 years and I have a house in LA and, you know, I'm 90% of the time. My brother's in Arizona. I don't have any children, but my brothers are here. My nephews and nieces are all in California, Arizona. My dad still visits. He's 90 years old this year. So we're having a big party for him.
Hallelujah. But, happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's brilliant. Well, I just wanted to say it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to be sending you an introduction to this woman that I interviewed in the race car space because I definitely think there's something there. I'm also going to introduce you to one of my clients who's a motocross racer, also a drummer. So there's so many connections to you and a brilliant actor. Who was the acting teacher you started with Christina? That's my last question.
Gosh, it was Joe Police. He passed away a few years ago. His name is Joe Police, but yeah, I had, gosh, all the way up to my last coach for just auditioning technique with Scott Sedita recently for a few years. I did that. But, you know, it was Joyce Davis Smith was the first one. We had a lot of coaches. You know how it is. Every few years, we kept switching coaches. But yeah, Joe Police was, there's a theater above Jerry's Deli, above the bowling alley. You remember that in Studio City? So that was where we were. And
Hallmark, yeah, like, across the street.
I didn't know that.
Crown Entertainment's right across from where the old Jerry's Deli is.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. The Hallmark guys, I don't know how they do their movies so inexpensively. I mean, they're the under $1 million movies and, you know.
Absolutely.
That's a whole nother animal. You know what I mean? So that's a different Hollywood Kool-Aid we don't drink.
Yeah, no, they're very effective and I've negotiated a lot of actor deals. Well, it's an absolute pleasure. I'd love to come see your premiere and meet you in person. Thank you for your time.
Awesome. You're the best. Thank you.
So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.